This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. For 5 decades, it has been illegal for banks to deny loans based on race. And yet, new research shows that even when controlling for things like income and neighborhood, people of color are denied mortgage loans at rates far higher than whites. And this trend persists in 61 metro areas around the country, including right here in North Carolina. So why do people of color struggle to get home loans? Well, lenders will say it's about a credit score, but new reporting tells a different story. Joining us now is Aaron Glantz. He's a senior reporter at Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX and co-reported the investigation Kept Out, a year-long analysis that looked at millions of government records and found a troubling pattern of loan denials for people of color around the country. Aaron, welcome back to the State of Things.
It's good to be with you.
Tell us a little bit more about give us the broad picture of what it was you found.
Well, I mean, basically what we wanted to know was, why is it that 10 years after the housing bust that so many people feel left behind? And in particular, why is it that the gap in home ownership between whites and African Americans in this country is larger than it was during the Jim Crow era when segregation was legal and approved of by the government? Why is it that the wealth gap, according to the Census Bureau, the average white family is worth 15 times as much as the average black one? Home ownership obviously has a lot to do with that, because in America, your house is your wealth for most working and middle class people. And so we wanted to know who could get a loan, who could benefit from the economic recovery, and who couldn't. And we found that even after we took into account a host of economic factors, race was still there. Race was still a factor in who could buy a home and who could not.
Well, it's a troubling set of statistics. Particularly shocking is the fact that since redlining has been outlawed, the gap between home ownership, black and white, has gotten worse.
Well, it was getting better. It was getting better for many decades. Yeah. You know, as you mentioned, segregation was legal. Discrimination was sanctioned by the government. In the 1930s, officers from the Homeowners Loan Corporation, which was part of the federal government, went out into neighborhoods, drew lines around them, and colored them red, hazardous, if they had large numbers of African Americans or immigrants, and told the banks not to lend there. In 1968, after the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, we had the Fair Housing Act, which made all of that illegal. And for many decades after 1968, the homeownership gap between whites and blacks got smaller until the housing bust. Mm. The housing bust hurt everyone. But in the recovery from the housing bust, white people have again been able to get loans, but people of color are being left behind.
So the first guess about this might be, well, look, I mean, lenders have certain rules. They look at your fitness for a loan, and perhaps it just turns out that owing to perhaps even for historic reasons, people of color just aren't as well qualified.
Well, we wanted to get at that. So we went through 31 million records. Nearly every loan application made in America disclosed under this law called the Home Mortgage Disclosure Act, which was passed by Congress in 1975. And it allowed us to control for a lot of economic factors. We looked at how much money people made. We looked at the neighborhood they wanted to buy in. We looked at the amount of debt that they were trying to take on in terms of a loan. And we found that there were 61 cities, including 3 in North Carolina, Greensboro, Rocky Mount, and Greenville, where even if you made the same amount of money and you were trying to buy in the same neighborhood and you were trying to take out the same size loan, you're more likely to be turned down if you were African American, Latino, Asian, or Native American. And in fact, Greenville had the biggest disparity in the entire country. If you were black in Greenville and trying to buy a house, you are more than 5 times as likely as a white person with the same income and trying to take out the same type of loan in the same neighborhood. You're 5 times as likely in Greenville to get rejected.
And as you said, these findings are based on millions of documents that you analyzed. You used a case study, one case in particular, the story of Rochelle. Tell us about her.
We really dug deep in Philadelphia, which was one of the biggest cities in America with this problem. And what we found was that really nobody is as perfect as the banks would like us to be. We all have gaps in our employment, or we have cell phone bills that we forgot to pay, or parking tickets that went to collection, or, you know, like life intervenes for all of us, right? And what we found was that when life intervened for a person of color, it was more likely to hurt them with the loan officer than if the person was white. So we feature this woman, Rochelle Faroul, who was just really a rock star of a human being. She grew up in Brooklyn, the daughter of a public school teacher who sent her to a boarding school on a scholarship, where she was one of the only African-Americans. Then she went to Northwestern. After graduation, she joined the Peace Corps. She worked in West Africa. Then she came back. She learned how to code, computer code. She was teaching coding at Rutgers in New Jersey. And then she said, okay, now I'm going to try to buy a house. So she was in Philadelphia. The first company she went to was one of these new mortgage lenders, Philadelphia Mortgage Advisors, which makes 90% of its loans to whites in a city that is where whites and blacks make up about an equal portion of the population. And they turned her down because she was teaching coding on contract, and they argued that her income wasn't consistent enough. So she went and got a job at the University of Pennsylvania, where she manages $1 million grant. So now she's working for an Ivy League institution managing $1 million. She goes, tries to buy a house again. And again, she ends up in this kind of like living hell situation with a bureaucracy that I'm sure many of us are familiar with Santander Bank. And ultimately, after months of going back and forth, a old electric bill on an apartment in New York where Rochelle didn't live anymore appeared on her credit report, knocked her credit score down, and then Santander also said no. Now, Rochelle was eventually able to buy the house, but only after her girlfriend, who was half white and half Asian, agreed to co-sign her application. And her partner, Hanako Franz, she made almost no money. She was working part-time at a grocery store, making $144 every 2 weeks. So basically, the loan officer only allowed this incredible, educated, employed African-American woman to buy a house after her part-time working, half-white, half-Asian-American partner signed on.
Who you point out during in the podcast, the loan officer would continually talk with her and not Rochelle in their conversations after she was introduced into the mix long after the loan process had begun. But the point that you make in this after, again, examining, it wasn't just a case study. This is millions of documents that demonstrate this pattern over at least 61 metropolitan areas, was that if people came in black and white with an excellent scores, then they were pretty close to, then things were probably going to work out for both of them. There's less disparity. But the minute something shows up on the record of an African-American or a person of color, that's when the disparities start to build in.
Right. I mean, nationally, you're looking at a majority of people of all racial groups who apply for a home loan are going to get it. Right. So the disparity is between people of color who have issues and white people who want to buy the same sort of homes that also have imperfections in their credit history. You know, right around the corner from where Rochelle was trying to buy a house for over a year, one of our producers, Laura Starcheski, who had almost no savings and a ton of student loan debt, went to buy almost exactly the same house and was able to buy it in a matter of weeks and put just 3% down. And the bank that she got a loan from, TD Bank, which is a big East Coast bank, they deny the majority of home loans to African-Americans and almost half of all applications from Hispanics. So here you have this woman with, you know, on the one hand, she's educated, she's professional, she has a good job working for Reveal. So she's a good candidate, right? On the other hand, she has no savings and a ton of student loan debt. So there are things that are against her. So So they said, no problem, easy peasy, right? At the same time, they're turning down a majority of African Americans.
I've only got about a minute left, but I want to talk about credit scores here because we think that's a kind of a neutral metric and a way of getting at your how fit you are. But you say there's a fix almost built into what credit scores are measuring that works against communities of color. Tell us about it.
Well, the whole credit score model is really important because when you think about the story that we put out, the main pushback that we're getting from lenders is that we didn't have this credit score information. And the reason we didn't have it, by the way, is because the banks have been fighting against releasing it. They've been fighting against it every step of the way. The 2010 Dodd-Frank Act, passed by Congress, signed by President Obama, said credit score, debt-to-income ratio, and other things have to be part of disclosure under the Home Mortgage Disclosure Act. And the banks have been fighting that law's implementation. We still don't have that. And it's a big problem because credit score itself is seen by many as discriminatory. It has to do with the way the algorithm works. And there are certain things like payday loans, where people of color are targeted for payday loans, that only report if you miss a payment. So, for example, on a traditional car loan, every time you make a car payment, your credit score goes up. So if you miss a payment and it gets knocked down, you have all those other payments to jack it back up again. But on other things like payday loans or rent would be another example, it only reports if you miss it. And so we found that people of color who behave basically the same way as whites in their lives are more likely to have a negative credit score just because of the way the algorithm is calculated.
Aaron Glanz is a senior reporter with Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX. He co-reported the new investigation, Kept Out. Check it out at our website, stateofthings.org. Coming up, meet Jennifer Farr Davis, who conquered the Appalachian Trail in 46 days.